We are in week two of three on the Psalms of Lament, as we talked about. Psalms of Lament, is a language that God has given us, once again, in our pain, in our sorrow, that leads to trust. That's a good definition Mark V gave us. I'm just going to say Mark V because his name's too hard to say. Vrogop. Mark V gives a definition of a Psalm of Lament. He says, it is a prayer of pain that leads to trust. A prayer of pain that leads to trust. Have you ever had a night where you just couldn't sleep because of the weight of life pressed too heavily on your soul? I think we all have. You toss and you turn, you cry out to God, but you feel like your prayers bounce off the ceiling. You open your Bible, but the words seem flat. And the longer you wait, the more you begin to wonder, has God forgotten me? Has He turned His back on me? Psalm 77 is that kind of psalm. Psalm of Lament. Let's take a look. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 20. There's 20 verses. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me when I was in distress. I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject me forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal the years when the Most High stretched out His right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the peoples with Your mighty arm. You redeemed Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw You, God. The waters saw You and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your mighty waters, though Your footprints were not seen, You led Your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You've given us a language, a heart language, Your language, a gift of grace for those who trust in You by faith in Christ. Thank You for that gift. Teach us today Your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you can see, as you heard, this is a cry of someone drowning in grief and confusion. Someone who feels maybe like us at times have felt abandoned by God. Yet, it's also a psalm of hope. Remember last Sunday we talked about how the Psalms of Lament travel. It's Mark V says it's not like your complaints and your sorrows are in a cul-de-sac where you keep on visiting them over and over again, over and over again. Psalms of Lament is a heart language, a God-given language of grace and of faith that leads somewhere. It's journey. It's a psalm on a journey. It travels to God Himself. Mark V says, Psalm 77 is a lament that illustrates both the journey and the destination. Both the journey and the destination of lament. From this psalm, we can see where biblical lamentation ends. The cry of the cross yields to the empty tomb. Lament eventually leads to joy and resolution. But getting there may be a painful journey. An author said this about Martin Luther, our reformer, who knew deep seasons of despair and sorrow. He said this, Luther trusts that God will intervene on his behalf in accordance with divine wisdom and is content when he does not because of his confidence in the loving character of God. He's content when he does not because of his confidence in the loving character of God. That's where the Psalms of Lament are taking us. Not a cul-de-sac of complaints, but a journey going somewhere to God Himself and to faithfully trust in Him. We see in the gift of Psalm 77 that it shows us that God's people have always struggled. So it's not like it's brand new to us that we are the only ones that go through times of trouble and sorrow and difficult moments as humans. No, the saints of old, they all went through that. Asaph and David, all these guys that wrote these heartfelt songs of lament, felt everything that we're going through and feeling today. They all went through that. And this was that language that God gifted them to express it. Stacy Gleddy-Smith describes lament as having a fourfold structure. We talked about that last night. I did this myself, just an easy way to remember a song or a psalm of lament. Not necessarily in this order, but it's a good way to remember it. TCAT, T-C-A-T, TCAT. Okay, turning. There's a turning to God, okay, T. C, complaint. We lay out our complaints before God. A, so TCAT, A, ask boldly, and then the T leads to trust or praise. So TCAT, okay? Complaint, ask boldly, an expression of trust or praise. First turn, crying out to God. The psalm begins this way. Psalm 77 begins this way. I cried out to God for help. God, I'm in trouble. I need help. This is difficult. This is hard. But he knows where to go. He goes right to God. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me when I was in distress. I sought the Lord. Notice he doesn't start with solutions. He doesn't lay out, God, this is what you should do. This is what I can't do. He doesn't hide his struggle or minimize his pain. He takes it straight to God. That's what the gift of lament does. It turns to the one who's here to help. That's the first step of lament, is to turn, is to cry out to God. It's to give Him what you're going through, what your sorrows are, what your troubles, where you are. You take it to Him, you turn to Him. Even if our faith feels weak, even if our prayers feel hollow, we choose to turn toward God. Lament is faith in the dark, faith that still prays. God, I don't understand, but I'm coming to you. I'm hurting. I don't understand why this is going on in my life or why somebody else is going through this sorrow or this trouble at this time. I don't understand, but I cry out to you. I turn to you. A young father explained that when his little daughter wakes up from a nightmare, she doesn't always have the words to explain what scared her. She just cries out, Daddy! He doesn't require her to give a detailed report of the dream, okay? List the details of your dream. He doesn't ask that of her. He comes running when he hears the cry. He comes because she called. He comes because she called. And that's what God invites us to himself. We don't need Paul's prayers. We just need to cry, Father. So lament, we could say it this way. Lament holds two things in tension at the same time. Two things in tension at the same time. God is completely sovereign and good. God is completely sovereign and good. That's his nature. That's his character. And here's the other. And the second is this. Life is really hard. Those two things can be true at the same time. God is sovereign and good, and gracious and merciful and kind and loving. And yet, life is still hard. Next is the complaint or naming the pain. When we say complaint, we don't mean complaining. There's a difference. Mark V listened to a podcast a couple of times, took some notes. I wrote down the notes on what he describes as complaining to God. That's what the psalmist did. They laid out their complaints to God. They weren't complaining. Here's what he says. Complaining is when you think you are the center of the universe. I'm guilty. You deserve a happy life. And you're mad at God because he broke the agreement. Which is, I'm going to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior, and you are going to offer me the forgiveness of sins, and my life is going to be awesome. And when God broke that deal, then you start complaining because you deserve a pain-free life. That's not complaint. Mark says that's sin. Let's keep looking. The psalmist names his pain, names it. When I remember God, I moan. I meditate, my spirit faints. He cannot sleep, he cannot speak, his mind runs in circles, and then comes the rhetorical questions. Remember, rhetorical questions don't necessarily need an answer, but they're laid out there, and there's six of them that he lays out there as complaints to God. He shares his heart with God. He says this, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he ever never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" They're daring, shocking even, questions. But notice that the psalmist doesn't whisper them behind God's back. He asks them directly to God. That's complaint. Honest, heartfelt, hurtful, painful complaint. He invites it. That's what lament gives us permission to do, to speak honestly to God about what hurts. Too often in church, I think, we think we need to clean up our prayers before we bring them to God. Let's clean them up, get them clean, get them just right, get them perfect. Let's clean those prayers up before we take them to Him. No, pray the honest ones from your heart. Pray the ones when you're struggling, when you're in times of trouble, when you're really hurting, when you don't understand things. That's when you go to God. You can go to him in the joyful times too. That's totally fine. That's gratefulness. That's praise to him. That's worship. Lament is worship as well. He gives us permission to do that, to speak honestly to Him. Lament says, bring the mess, bring the tears, bring the doubts. God can handle it. He's God. He created you. He can handle it. The saints felt what we feel. They were downcast as we are. And yet their faith was found in crying out, even in the complaints to God. The psalmist would not continue the questioning. Imagine this. If God, His character, if He wasn't who He was or is, would the psalmist continue to talk like this and to cry out to Him in prayer? The psalmist would not continue the questioning and the complaints if they knew that God wasn't loving, if he knew that God wasn't kind, and if he knew that God wasn't compassionate toward His children. He wouldn't offer those if he didn't know that God was all of those things. That's why we pray. That's why we lament. Because God is faithful even when our pain doesn't seem to be lining up with His promises and His character. Thirdly, ask boldly. Then I thought, this is Psalm 77 once again, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. The psalmist petitions his own heart. It says, enough spiraling in despair. I choose to remember. I don't understand. I don't know why. I'm hurting here, but I choose at this moment, I choose God to remember you and what you've done. It's a deliberate act of faith. Asking here doesn't sound like, Lord, fix everything right now. It sounds more like, Lord, help me remember who you are. Help me anchor myself in and what you've already done. Sometimes the most powerful prayer we can pray is, Lord, help me remember. Lord, help me remember. And that gift of lament and the gift of praying and pain leads us somewhere. Here's the somewhere. Trust. The T. Trust and praise. The psalmist now rehearses God's mighty acts. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. And then he recalls one of the greatest moments of deliverance for the people of Israel, one of the greatest rescue attempts ever made in the history of man for the nation of Israel, the rescue attempt. Do you remember what that event was? He lays it out here in the psalm at the end. The Exodus. God saves His people out of bondage and slavery from Egypt, parts the Red Sea and saves them. So when Israel stood trapped between Pharaoh's army and the waters, God made a way through. The seas trembled, the earth shook, and God's people walked through on dry ground. Verse 19 says something striking. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. That's the heart of lament. Even when I can't see God's footprints, I trust He's leading me. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Even if I can't see it now. Even if. Corrie Ten Boom, who survived the horrors of the Nazi concentration camp, used to say, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. When she was released, she didn't know what life would look like. She carried scars, she carried questions, but she remembered the same God who had preserved her life through unimaginable suffering would guide her into the future. Psalm 77 teaches us just that. When the present feels unbearable, we lean on the faithfulness of the past and His faithfulness in our future. Psalm 77 is not a psalm that ties up everything with a neat bow. It begins in despair, ends in remembrance. The psalmist doesn't get every answer to his questions, but he gets something better. The assurance that God, who saved in the past, is the same God who holds the present. Think about Jesus for a moment. Over and over and over again, he lamented. He lamented. He wept two times over Jerusalem for his people. They didn't know the time of his first coming. They didn't get it. And he wept for them. He wept Mary's tears at the death of her brother Lazarus. He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. Drops of blood. From the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Word for word, Psalm 22, a song of lament. Jesus understood, this is Michael Card. Jesus understood that lament was the only true response of faith to the brokenness and fallenness of the world. It provides the only trustworthy bridge to God across the deep seismic quaking of our lives. His life reveals that those who are truly intimate with the Father know they can pour out any hurt, disappointment, temptation, or even anger with which they struggle. Jesus' own life is an invitation to enter through the door of lament. One warning. After we pass through that door, nothing can ever remain the same again. The cry of the cross leads to joy of the empty tomb. So when you are overwhelmed in the present, remember God's faithfulness in the past. What He has done before, He will do again. His footprints may be unseen, but His presence is certain. The nation of Israel was rescued from the Egyptians. You and I have our own rescue story. You and I have our own rescue story. When Jesus went to the cross and died there and rose again, He defeated sin, death, and the devil. And He became our rescuer from all of those things. And so we're thankful today for that as we trust in Him. We cry out to Him in our times of sorrow, in our times of trouble, our times of grief, because that leads us to trusting in His character, His love, His grace, His kindness.